Hi, this is Ted Dunn, and you're listening to Reflections from the Crossroads. These reflections are offered for leaders, communities, and seekers standing at a threshold, places where something familiar is ending and something new is beginning to stir. Today's reflection is titled, Synodality Will Fail Without the Inner Work of Transformation. It's about the difference between change and transformation. There's a great deal of talk these days about synodality. That is understandable. It is the language of the moment. It has become one of the central ways the church is trying to speak about participation, listening, shared responsibility, discernment, and mission. Leadership conferences across the globe are offering resources. Rome is moving from event to implementation. Congregations are asking what synodality means for chapters, councils, formation, governance, mission, intercultural living, and collaboration with lay partners. This is all good and necessary, yet not sufficient to succeed for what synodality promises. Synodality will fail if it becomes one more ecclesial vocabulary word we learn to use without changing the way we actually live, decide, listen, lead, and surrender. We have seen this before. The church has a long memory for beautiful language and a mixed record for allowing that language to disturb our settled patterns. That may sound a bit blunt, and I think it should, because synodality is not first a method. It is not a consultation process. It is not a series of table conversations with colored markers and carefully managed reports. These can help. Sometimes they help a lot. But synodality, at its depth, asks for transformation of consciousness. It asks us to see things differently. It asks us to listen from a different place. It asks us to become a different kind of community. And that is where things get interesting. Many religious communities already know the language of communal discernment. They have chapters, assemblies, constitutions, councils, committees, circles, processes, and prayer. They know how to gather. They know how to produce directional statements. They know how to name values. But every community also knows this. The presence of even a well-planned process does not guarantee the presence of transformation. A community can hold a listening session and still avoid the truth. A council can ask for input and already know what it intends to do. A chapter can speak of courage while quietly protecting what it does not want to lose. A congregation can invoke mission and still be governed by fear. This is not hypocrisy. It is not even bad will. It's just human. It's institutional. It is what happens when communities under pressure reach for the familiar, especially when the future is uncertain and the stakes are high. And the stakes nowadays are high. Religious institutes are facing realities that are not just theoretical. Aging members, fewer new entrants in many parts of the world, growing multicultural complexity, financial strain, sponsored ministries in transition, properties too large for current needs, leadership pools that are shrinking, care systems that are stretched, mission questions that can no longer be answered by repeating what once worked. Some communities are asking whether they can continue as they are. Some are asking, what must be let go? Some are asking, what can be entrusted to others? Some are asking whether diminishment is the end of the story, whether they should come to completion, or whether there is still a deeper call hidden inside it. I believe there is a deeper invitation, but it will not be found by management alone. Management, budgets, canon law, and civil law matter. Sponsorship structures matter. Human resources, elder care, safeguarding, property planning, and leadership development, all of these things matter. There is no virtue in pretending these practical concerns are superficial or beneath us. They are not. They are part of the terrain. But synodality asks something more than competent administration. It asks whether our ways of leading and deciding are capable of receiving and cooperating with grace. It asks whether our structures are designed only for control and continuity, or whether they can also hold grief, imagination, truth-telling, conflict, and the slow emergence of something new. That is inner work, and without it, synodality becomes decorative. The inner work of transformation involves five dynamic movements or processes that aid us in cooperating with grace. The first is a shift in consciousness that starts when a community begins to examine the narratives that govern it. Every congregation has official narratives. These are the stories told in mission statements, vocation materials, and chapter documents. They matter. They carry memory and identity. But communities also have hidden narratives. We are too old and too few. We have already tried that. The younger members don't appreciate what we built. The older members will never change. We cannot talk about that. Leadership has already decided. If we name the truth, people will fall apart. These hidden narratives are powerful. They shape what can be imagined and what cannot. They determine who speaks and who remains silent. They influence whether a council leads from courage or from caution, dressed up as prudence. Synodality requires a new narrative. Not a fantasy, not institutional cheerleading, a truthful narrative. A narrative large enough to hold both grief and generativity. A narrative honest enough to say, we are not who we once were, without collapsing into, we are finished. A narrative faithful enough to ask, what is God doing now? Without needing the answer to resemble what God was doing 50 years ago. It is why transformation of consciousness is not a luxury. It is a doorway. The second dynamic movement is claiming the inner voice. For individuals, this means learning to speak from the deeper self rather than from role, fear, compliance, or resentment. For communities, it means taking off the masks and recovering the collective voice of charism, belonging, and intimacy. Many people in religious life have been trained, sometimes subtly and sometimes explicitly, to be agreeable, to be nice, to preserve harmony, to avoid making things harder for leadership, to wait, defer, and endure. And there is goodness in restraint, but there is also danger in it too. Communal discernment is not helped when people politely conceal what everyone needs to hear, nor is it helped when the real conversation erupts only in parking lots, dining rooms, side conversations, or emails sent after the meeting. Synodality asks for a more mature voice, a voice that can speak truth without violence, a voice that can name fear without being ruled by it, a voice that can say, I disagree, and still remain in communion, a voice that can say, I am grieving, without requiring the community to stop moving, a voice that can say, something new is calling us, even when the new thing is not yet clear. That kind of voice is formed. It does not appear because we put people at round tables. The third dynamic movement is reconciliation and healing. This may be the most neglected dimension of synodal practice. Communities often try to discern the future while carrying unhealed wounds from the past. Old conflicts, leadership disappointments, cultural injuries, generational mistrust, regional divisions, experiences of being dismissed, controlled, shamed, overlooked, or left out. There is a lot of emotional baggage. These wounds do not disappear because the agenda has moved on. They sit in the room. Sometimes they sit very quietly. They shape the temperature of the conversation. They determine who trusts and talks with whom. They decide how much risk a community can take. They make some proposals sound dangerous before they have even been considered. They determine who is valued and believed and who is not. Too often, these wounds lead to triangulation, members talking with leadership instead of turning toward one another and doing the hard work of reconciliation. This is why reconciliation and healing are not optional skills for synodal leadership. This work is central. Strong leaders today are not simply managing tasks. They are holding and accompanying communities through the thresholds. They are helping members metabolize loss. They are inviting participation without surrendering responsibility. They are creating containers, self-spaces, safe spaces where truth can be spoken and not weaponized. That is difficult work. No wonder so many leaders are tired. The fourth dynamic movement is experimentation and learning. Synodality is not proven by how beautifully a community talks about participation. It is proven by whether the community is willing to try new ways of living its charism. Small experiments matter. A new form of shared leadership, a pilot collaboration with another congregation, a reimagined use of property, a new way to involve lay partners in mission discernment, a different rhythm for council reflection, an intercultural conversation that goes beyond celebration into the harder work of power, belonging, and mutual conversion. A chapter process that asks fewer abstract questions and more consequential ones, with more space for in-depth dialogue and less lengthy reports. Experiments are important because they move a community out of endless deliberation and beyond the status quo. They create learning. They reduce the fantasy that the future will arrive fully formed before anyone has to risk anything. It will not. The future is usually discovered by walking toward it, awkwardly at first. The fifth dynamic movement is transformative visioning. This is more than strategic planning. Strategic planning asks, what goals shall we pursue? Transformative visioning asks, what future is trying to draw us beyond ourselves? That's a different question. It requires attention to the lure and love of God. It requires imagination. It requires grief because every real vision asks us to leave something behind. It requires courage because the emerging future rarely comes with complete instructions. It requires personal and communal discernment, not voting by secret ballots. Many congregations now stand at a crossroads where the old maps no longer work. The temptation is to search harder for a better map, to try harder rather than to try differently. But perhaps the deeper invitation is to become the kind of people who can travel without one. That may be what synodality is really asking of us, not simply better meetings, not wider consultation alone, not a softer style of governance. Synodality asks whether we can become communities of discernment in a time of unraveling and emergence. Communities capable of listening to God, to one another, to the cries of the world, and to the quiet wisdom rising from within the body itself. The themes of synodality are collaboration, partnership, communal discernment, and experimentation. Ad experimentum. This will require new leadership models. Yes. It will require new forms of governance. Yes. It will require collaboration, sponsorship transitions, intercultural formation, elder care planning, and mission partnerships. Yes to all of that. But beneath all of it is the harder question. Are we willing to be transformed? Because you cannot legislate conversion or transformation. Without that willingness, synodality will be absorbed into the old system. It will be used to bless what we already intended to do. It will become another program, another theme, another document, another carefully facilitated conversation that changes very little. But with the inner work of transformation, synodality can become something else. It can become a school of conversion, a way of recovering communal courage, a path through discernment that does not deny loss and does not worship it either, a way of allowing charism to breathe again in forms we did not expect, a way of listening for the future that God is already laboring to bring forth among us. So perhaps the question for councils, chapters, and communities is not simply, how do we become more synodal? Perhaps the better question is this: what inner work are we avoiding that makes synodality necessary in the first place? That question will not fit neatly on a planning grid. Good. Some questions should not behave. Here are some reflection questions that you might want to ponder. What inner capacities are we assuming in our members and leaders, but not actually forming? Where are we using synodal language while preserving old patterns of control, avoidance, passivity, or politeness? What would governance look like if it were designed for discernment, not merely management? What grief must be honored before our community can freely imagine the future? What small experiments might help us learn our way into the next faithful step? Thank you for listening to Reflections from the Crossroads. You can find the written version of this reflection, along with future reflections and translations, at Graced Crossroads. As you move through the days ahead, may you notice what is trying to emerge beneath the surface of things.